Tonight, the man behind the gun is a woman.
Columbia Broadcasting System presents The Man Behind the Gun, dedicated to the fighting men and women of the United States and the United Nations, and broadcast in the hope that these authentic accounts of men and women of war will bring you a better understanding of the job being done by our fighting forces everywhere in the world, and the job we have to do to keep them right. This is something for the girls. This story is for the girls who swoon at the sight of blood as readily as they swoon at the sight of a crooner. This is for the girls to whom war's greatest tragedy is no nylons. This is for those American girls not yet in uniform, blue, green, khaki, or war worker slacks. This is something for the girls.
Pass, Italy, January 1944.
Face deflection left. 1-4-0. Number 2. 1 round. Quadrant. 2-8-5. Fire!
Fire! Fire!
It's thunder the first time you hear it. You open the flap of your tent and look up at the sky. But the fading day is clear and blue, the way it is in Italian travel posters. Even so, you turn the palm of your hand up, feeling for rain. The soldier who's digging the drain around your tent grins at you.
It ain't gonna rain, Lieutenant. That's enemy artillery you're hearing up at Murano Pass. They sound off almost every day at sunset.
Artillery? Up there?
Yes, ma'am. You'll get used to it after a while.
Enemy artillery. You look toward Murano Pass, toward the road that leads to Rome. For a moment, you feel the immensity of the job you've taken on. You, an army nurse, an officer in the medical corps. An army nurse, sharer of pain, life giver. Mother, sister, girlfriend. Confessor, letter writer, psychiatrist, good sport. Florence Nightingale in slacks. Clara Barton in a slit trench. You've got a big assignment, sister. A big assignment. So it's your first night in the tent. The place is an evacuation hospital only 20 miles behind the lines. The guns are still sounding off up in the pass. You roll over on your cot, restless and wide awake, listening to the others gab.
I'm not going to get any sleep.
I wonder if they keep that up all night.
Probably. They must have heard we were coming. A greeting from Adolf.
Huh? Adolf who?
Isn't it wonderful? Just mention a man's name and the flower of Savannah wakes right up.
How can she think of sleep with all that racket?
Darling, it's all in having the proper frame of mind. I just don't let things fuss me, that's all.
Get her. We've got mud, flies, dirt, and rats. No running water and do our washing in a helmet. Freeze at night and bake by day and she isn't fussed.
It is a little rugged here, isn't it?
Oh, let's hit the sack, honey. I'm going to look a sight if I don't get some sleep.
They keep on gabbing for a while, but you stare into the darkness and listen to the guns on Murano. You know there's going to be an attack soon because you've been assigned to a mobile surgical unit. A mobile unit is an operating room on wheels. An operating room and a heavy-duty truck moving up with the attack. You're the surgeon's right hand, an indispensable prop in his technique. The surgeon expects you to be good. Some surgeons expect you to be perfect.
Like Captain Ricker, for instance. You gotta be 200% plus when you're working with him.
That's what the sergeant told you this morning when he was typing out your orders.
Captain Ricker?
Yeah, he operates so fast it's like trying to hand instruments to an octopus.
He's got a pull motor where his heart ought to be. I wouldn't want to be in your spot, Collins.
Your spot. You're going to scrub for Captain Ricker. Scrub means that you're the surgical nurse. The one who hands the surgeon his instruments, prepares the table, sets the stage for the operation. What if you're not good enough? What if you fumble? Back home, you are hot stuff at the local hospital. But this is going to be up near the front line. Not three or four operations a day. Here you'll have 15, 20, maybe 30. You're going up with the attack.
Check and supply table, Captain Ricker's unit.
All right, shoot.
Forceps, one hemostatic Rankin Kelly.
One hemostatic Rankin Kelly.
One hemostatic Jones, 5-inch.
One hemostatic Jones, 5-inch.
One package of sutures soaked, braided. Say, have you seen the new nurses?
One suture soaked, braided. Yeah, when they first came in. Nice looking bunch.
Scissors, two curved nails.
Two curved nails.
You talked to any of them yet?
Yeah, Lieutenant Collins. I was fixing the drain around her tent yesterday.
Uh-huh.
She heard the shooting up on Murano. Wanted to know if it was thunder.
Forceps, one halstead, mosquito straight.
One straight halstead, mosquito.
Pretty?
Who?
Lieutenant Collins.
She had on slacks and a helmet.
Oh.
Anyway, I've only got two stripes.
You know, in the movies, rank don't make any difference. She loves you for your fine character.
Yeah. Forceps, one straight killing.
One straight killing. In the movies, you're from Texas. Just a big, lovable kid. Always getting in trouble. You get the top of your skull knocked in, but she saves your life, see? Well, in the final scene, the two of you are on the deck of a transport. Your arm around her ship.
Answer that, will you?
Medical Supply Depot. Corporal Kirkmeyer.
Yes, Captain.
Yes, sir. We're checking the supplies for the truck now. Yes, sir. Right away, we'll... Well, hop right to it, sir.
Was that Ricker?
Yeah, we got to get this stuff out quick. We're moving up.
Oh, you're moving up with the surgical truck, the operating room on wheels, and all the complex personnel of a forward echelon of the medical corps. Litter bearers, aid men, cooks, drivers, electricians, mechanics. The infinitely detailed plan is taking shape.
Suture, cat gut, plane number 2.
Repeat the number.
Cat gut, number 2.
Number 2! Four rounds! Quadrant! 1-7! Zero! Fire!
The infinitely detailed plan. The barrage opens against Murano, and the surgical unit moves out from the evacuation hospital. Two trucks, one a mobile operating room, now on the road, leading north. You're riding in the front seat of the first truck, wedged between the driver and Captain Ricker. It's beginning to rain. The road is rim deep in mud. You haven't figured Captain Ricker out yet. So far, he's the commanding officer. You, a junior officer. He's polite, impersonal.
You worked in a mobile unit before, Lieutenant?
Yes, sir. All of us have. On maneuvers with the 3rd Army back in Louisiana.
That's good. You'll find our procedure here somewhat similar. Unless, of course, the casualties are heavier than we expect. Sometimes speed is more important than preventing fatalities and complete aseptic technique. Shock is one of the big problems. Cigarette?
Thank you, I'd like one.
Strictly business, this Captain Ricker. A machine like this truck churning up the mud of this mountain road under four-wheeled power. Suddenly, you're on top of the ridge. To the left and northward, you see a mountain range. 5 miles across as a P-38 flies. 9 miles to the crawling infantry. Between the mountains, there's a pass. Captain Ricker smiles for the first time.
That's Murano, Lieutenant.
An MP is on the road ahead, pointing to a driveway. The truck turns off into a deep rutted lane. At the end of the lane, you see a courtyard and a farmhouse. This is the assembly area. Now you're in support of the attack, and radio silence is abandoned. The medical plan goes into effect.
Clearing station 5 to mobile unit. Testing. Over.
Mobile unit, we can hear you. Over.
We're in position and ready. We lose contact, we'll communicate by ambulance message. Over.
Okay. Give us number and type of casualties when they start coming in. We're standing by.
Okay. Out.
The mobile unit stands by in the rear. Just ahead of it is the clearing station, classifying casualties. Farther forward, the collecting station. Then the aid stations. Out from the aid stations, the litter bearers. Ahead of the litter bearers, the company aid men, crawling forward with the attacking battalion. Each unit and individual of the medical corps waiting for one precise moment. Aid men, bearers, ambulance drivers, nurses, doctors, waiting for this.
Oh. Medic. Medic. Over here. Medic!
standing in the living room of the farmhouse, which you've converted into a receiving ward. This is the setup for the assembly line of pain. 10 cots, plasma apparatus, bandages, hypodermics, a portable autoclave for sterilizing linen. Outside in the courtyard, the operating room in the truck is in order.
Lieutenant.
Yes, Captain.
Station 5 just called. The first ambulances are on the way over. Here's a list of cases. Your table is set up?
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant Leggett.
Yes, sir.
Fix 3 shock beds, will you?
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant Bradley.
Yes, sir.
You'll use your own judgment on anesthesia.
Yes, Captain.
You look at the case list. It's worse than you expected. Eight severe casualties and the attack has just begun.
All right, Lieutenant, I'm going to scrub. Let me know when you're ready on the table.
We will.
You watch Ricker go out to the trucks. Bradley looks at the case list in your hand.
8.
How many?
8.
Funny. Doesn't look like anything's happening up there, does it? Just a little smoke.
They say that's the way it always is, until the cases start coming in. And then up there and back here get to be the same place.
Ambulances are coming.
All right. Let's get to work.
You're scrubbing your hands at the small basin in the operating truck. The wounded boy on the table is breathing quietly. Bradley removes the ether cone. You look at the boy. His face is ashen gray. This is your first wounded. This kid who stopped a grenade fragment up at Murano. You put on your rubber gloves. Your face is masked. Bradley nods your head. Anesthesia is complete. You prepare your sterile towels to cover the operating area. Captain Ricker comes into the truck.
Can I start to paint?
Go ahead, Captain.
The doctor takes his place. You swing the mayo table into position and stand at Ricker's right. Ricker starts to paint, to swab the skin with methylate. Now it begins. Now the assembly line of pain moves forward. And this is only the first one. First hemostats to stop the flow of blood.
Curve, Kelly.
You slap the Kelly into Ricker's hand. Slap it hard. Suture to tie up the severed vessels.
Another tie.
He makes the tie, removes the hemostats. Tie, hemostat. The process continues.
Suction.
You're ready with the suction and the bulb syringe. Saline in the bulb to clean out the wound. Saline. Suction. Suction. Saline. Cleaning. Preparing the way for the scissors.
Straight mail.
An hour is gone, and this is only the first case. You're trying to achieve the delicate operative rhythm of surgeon and nurse, but you feel like a drag on Ricker. His hands move like lightning.
Sponge.
Sponge. Probe. Curved Kelly. Straight Kelly. Suture. Bloody bandages on the floor. He's got the shell fragments now. Sulfur powder. Suture. Close the wound. It's over. The soldiers take the stretcher off the operating table. You start to remove your rubber gloves.
Corporal.
Yes, sir.
We're ready for the next one.
The next one.
Methylate.
He begins to paint. The lightning hands move faster.
Straight Kelly.
The incredible hands. You can't feed them fast enough. Knife, scissors, forceps, suture. Never stopping.
Suction.
Did you hear?
Suction.
Yes, Captain.
You'll have to be quicker, Lieutenant.
Much quicker. They're ready for the next one.
Knife.
The hours pile up. The air in the truck gets stale. Your eyes burn. Your hands tremble.
Sponge. Sponge.
Yes, Captain.
You want someone to relieve you, Lieutenant?
No, sir. I'm all right.
You're not. You're getting punchy. Next case.
Fractured femur.
Next.
Torn kidney.
You're working on nerve now. 4 in a row and he hasn't stopped. 7 hours. You can't take any more.
You want a relief, Lieutenant?
No, sir. I'm all right.
Number 5. The kid who's going to lose his leg.
No, Doc. Please. Please.
Even the drugs can't quiet the kid.
Please, Doc. No, no.
Take it easy now.
No, no, you mustn't.
You can't take any more. You are punchy. You didn't figure it was going to be like this. You can't take it. Ricker's voice seems to be so far away.
Knife. Knife. Knife.
You just can't take it. Somehow you did. Somehow you got through the first night. It's morning now, and it's raining worse than ever. You're in the kitchen of the farmhouse, gulping coffee with Bradley.
Mobile unit.
The soldier who works the radio has set up his transmitter by the stove.
Come in, clearing station. Mobile unit to clearing station. Come in, clearing station.
He's been saying that for 20 minutes.
Come in.
Now he gets up abruptly.
Would you listen for the signals, Lieutenant? I've got to see Captain Ricker.
Okay, Sergeant.
What's that mean?
I don't know. Maybe the clearing station's pulled out and gone forward.
Maybe it's coming back this way.
They haven't sent an ambulance in the last hour.
It might mean anything.
Lieutenant Collins.
Yes?
That fracture case is asking for you again.
I'm coming.
You haven't finished your coffee.
It can wait.
You come into the farmhouse living room. Seven quiet forms on the cots. One died in the night. You go to the boy who asked for you. The one with the shattered hip. You sit by his side.
Miss. I mean, nurse. Could I have a drink?
You give him some water. He doesn't really want the water. He wants you there. A woman for his pain. You smile at him when he hands you back the glass.
Nurse. Would you... just sit here for a while?
Sure, I told you.
Thanks. That'll be nice.
You take the boy's hand and hold it. You sit quietly till he seems to sleep. Suddenly you realize you've made the grade. Now you're really an army nurse. You look out the window and wonder how it's going up at Murano.
The Mobile Surgical Unit.
About 9 miles up the road. I think they're in a farmhouse.
Thanks.
Hey, how's it going in Murano?
All balled up. They're pounding the battalion to pieces with a counterattack. The aid stations are pulling out.
Oh, my back.
9 miles up the road?
Yeah. You just keep asking as you go.
Okay.
Feels like it's bleeding again. May I have a look?
You thought he was asleep. You lift up the blanket.
It's bleeding, isn't it?
A little. We'll fix that.
You get up from the cot and go over to the portable autoclave. Sterile dressings are running low. The boy who lost his leg is on the cot next to the autoclave.
Lieutenant, would you move me just a bit?
He knows he's lost his leg. He's trying to keep talking so he won't cry. You move him gently.
Nurse.
I'm coming.
That's the kid who stopped the grenade fragment. Now they're coming to life after the operations. Now they need you.
Hey, soldier! Which way to the Mobile Surgical Unit?
You got me, bud. I lost my own outfit.
Lieutenant. Nurse?
It's the kid whose leg is gone. He's beginning to break now. He can't hold it in.
Nurse?
His pulse is weak and irregular. Skin clammy, respiration labored. This is a mental shock. Something that plasma and saline fluid and oxygen won't help. This boy could die from the pain in his mind. You remember something a veteran nurse told you about the wounded? They'll talk about the battle, not about wives or sweethearts or mothers. Get them to talking about the battle.
How did it happen, soldier?
What?
How did it happen?
Grenade. I was on patrol. Lost my leg.
You were on patrol?
Yeah. Going up to Murano. We were giving them their lumps yesterday.
Sure you were.
Yeah. I got a great outfit. 269th.
The 269th?
Great outfit. They've probably got Murano in the bag by now.
Yeah. That's what we've been hearing.
No kidding.
Sure, they've taken Murano in a breeze.
No kidding.
You did a swell job, the 269th.
Yeah, I guess we did.
You've got to keep on lying. The kid's pulse is getting steadier now. He's getting it off his chest now, and you try to listen to him. But there's another sound you've been hearing, and at first you think it's an ambulance and that you're in contact with the other units. Then you realize it's a jeep, plowing the mud in the farmyard lane. You hear it stop, and you want to get up and look. But you sit with the kid.
Pass me, pass. been fighting since...
This is the Mobile Surgical Unit?
Yes.
Message for Captain Ricker. It's urgent.
Hi, Joe.
Well, for the love of...
What are you doing here?
Eddie, what happened to you?
How are the boys doing up at Murano? How's it going?
How's it going? Brother, let me tell you...
We've taken the pass, haven't we, soldier?
Why, man,
I've just been telling Eddie here the good news. It's doing wonders for him.
Oh, yeah. We're going great guns. Great guns, Eddie. Could I see the captain now, Lieutenant?
I'll have to deliver the message he's operating.
Okay, ma'am. I'll wait here. Just give him this, please.
Yeah. And you'll tell Eddie what's happening, won't you? How it's going?
Sure, Lieutenant. I'll tell him the good news.
You go out to the trucks. They've just finished operating. After all those hours, Captain Ricker is finally taking off his gloves. His eyes are bloodshot and he leans wearily on the table. He's alone in the truck. You give him time to light a cigarette, then you hand him the message.
It just came in by jeep.
You wait while he reads it.
Lieutenant, we're pulling out of here.
Pulling out?
Yes, orders.
But how can we? We can't move those men.
Orders.
But Captain...
The battalion collection station is to the rear of us now. They have 40 surgical cases, emergency cases. They need us there.
We have our own emergency...
I understand, Lieutenant. We have 8 cases. They have 40. They'll have more by the time we get there.
But how can we leave
these... Lieutenant. It's necessary for us to go as a unit. The battalion is being pushed back. One of the enlisted men will stay with our cases. We've got to leave immediately. They have
40 cases. I heard you, Captain.
Ricker has his helmet and coat on. The two enlisted men are carrying equipment out to the trucks. You're sitting with a kid called Eddie, checking his pulse, watching him closely.
Are we pulling out, Lieutenant?
No. They're sending some of the equipment up forward.
Oh, forward. That's good. They can't move us for a couple of days, huh, Lieutenant?
That's right. Look, if I give you something to make you sleep...
Oh, I don't need it now. I'm okay.
Ricker is watching you. You've been told to get your helmet and field pack. But you sit with Eddie.
Lieutenant Collins.
Yes, sir?
May I see you a moment?
Ricker goes out to the kitchen and you follow him.
Lieutenant, we've rigged up the truck to take the 4 movable cases with us. Corporal Kirkmeyer has volunteered to stay here with the 4 who can't be moved.
Corporal Kirkmeyer is a very good soldier, sir, but he's no nurse. Those men need a nurse.
I understand that. But it's a risk that must be taken. We'll attempt to send an ambulance here tomorrow when the men can be moved.
And if the ambulance doesn't get through? If this is enemy territory tomorrow?
I said it's a risk that must be taken.
Those men need a nurse. I'd like permission to stay, sir.
I'm sorry.
The men won't live through the night if they realize they've been abandoned.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry, you're sorry. Stop talking like a machine. I'm not going to do it, do you hear? I'm staying here.
Are you going to force me to give you an order?
Oh, for the love of heaven, be human, will you? You're nothing but an instrument, an operating technique that walks. Well, I'm not going to let those kids die. I'm not.
Lieutenant. Lieutenant Collins.
Yes, sir. I'm all right now. I'm sorry, sir.
Forget it. Cigarette?
Thanks.
You see my position.
Yes, I see it. Someone has to give the orders.
Yes. I'm not a machine, Lieutenant.
I didn't mean that.
I'm not really. I feel, I get hurt, I blunder, just like anybody else. I'm not sure of a lot of things. I make mistakes. But someone has to decide who is to go and who will stay.
But...
I know how you feel.
Still, you want me to go?
Yes.
Captain, is that an order?
Lieutenant...
Is that an order, Captain?
No, Collins. No, it's not an order.
They've gone. The truck and Ricker and Bradley and Leggett. The movable cases have gone with them. And it's night now. And the rain has stopped. And you're sitting with the wounded. No sound comes from Murano. No sound in the farmhouse but the low voices of the men.
Nurse. Feels like it's bleeding again. We'll have a look.
Sure, soldier.
Lieutenant, would you move me just a bit?
Yes, I'll be right with you.
Nurse?
Yes, Eddie, just a minute.
It's bleeding, isn't it?
A little. We'll fix that.
Nurse!
I'm coming, Eddie. I'm coming.
You're tending to your wounded. And it's quiet up on Murano. You go to Eddie's cot and put your fingers on his wrist. And while you're feeling the pulse, hearing the steadier, reassuring beat, you hear a motor coming up the road. But there's no way of knowing whether it's friend or enemy. The motor gets closer and closer and stops outside in the courtyard. And you hear footsteps coming across the courtyard. And you stand there, counting Eddie's pulse, waiting.
Lieutenant Collins?
Yes?
Message from Captain Ricker. We're getting an ambulance due to you in a few hours. You can move your cases as soon as it's light.
You take the message and read it through. And it's the first message you've ever received, and it's all very formal. Except for the last line. And the last line in Ricker's scrawly writing says, good luck. And you fold the message carefully because you want to keep it for good. And then you feel like laughing and bawling all at the same time, and you look down at Eddie and smile at him. And when someone says,
how's it going up there, Lieutenant?
You don't have to lie this time.
It's going okay, soldier. We're moving up again. We're going places now.
Fictitious, and any similarity to those of actual individuals in the armed forces is purely coincidence. Tune in again next week at the same time when the man behind the gun brings you another authentic report of victory in the making. And remember, you'll listen with clearer conscience if you've already bought that extra war bond. The man behind the gun is a Robson production. Tonight's broadcast was written by Corporal Louis Pelletier, Recruiting Publicity Bureau, United States Army, and narrated by Jackson Beck. The original musical score was composed and conducted by Van Cleve. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
We hope that you've enjoyed this recording, and for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.